Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews along with you. And we've got some more stuff to talk about because, first of all, and the biggest thing on my mind is President's Cup is right around the corner. And that's, I hope, going to be some drama and some excitement. But that's next week. Coming up before that, though, we have both the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour with different events happening. One, the Fortinet Championship on the PGA Tour at Silverado Resort in Napa. It's been several different names. It's been at Silverado for a number of years now, but they've changed sponsors. But now it's last couple of years, Fortinet Championship. And the LIV Tour is making its fifth appearance. This is at Rich Harvest Farms in Chicago, the suburbs of Chicago, if you will, which I'll be flying to later today, not the tour, but to the suburbs of Chicago. And so anyway, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. And that still is ongoing and still lawsuit and still drama involving the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour. So it never seems to end. We also maybe talk a little bit about college football and Ole Miss's former All-American quarterback joining us now, Frank Bassett from his Nashville studio. Tell us about your exploits at Ole Miss. There. Remember looking, that game against Mississippi State when you threw that long?
No, against Alabama where we beat them 10-7 when they were number one in the nation back in 1977, as a matter of fact, and I was right there, but not the quarterback. I was in the student body, so to speak.
You're holding a beer.
I was in the, no, on the sidelines. No, that would have been my buddy Butch.
How is Ole Miss doing?
Ole Miss is doing great. We're 2-0, but we've played, you know, I mean, Troy and Central Arkansas. Week, Georgia Tech at Georgia. So we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens.
Good test.
It'll be a good test at Georgia Tech. Matt Corral is who you were referencing, our former star quarterback. So
I get you too confused.
Yeah, Matt, you know, Matt did fabulous, and he would have gone in the first round of the NFL, but he had a few issues.
Yeah.
Personal things that he had to deal with, and he dealt with them. And
off the field.
We wish him the very best because, boy, is he one talented guy.
But he is. Where is he at? Do you know? Where did he end up?
Carolina.
NFL? He's in Carolina? Oh, yeah. Okay. Really?
Yep.
With Darnold and Mayfield.
Oh, yeah.
A little plethora of quarterbacks there. So he was actually a Heisman candidate, remember?
He was.
Last year, and he's going into the season and came out, I think, because Kippen throws the ball a lot and has a great offense and, you know, can generate a lot of excitement from their offense standpoint. So those guys, just like Oklahoma with their quarterbacks, you know, you got to put it up there. And to be honest with you, Alabama throws the ball a lot more than people think. They think of Saban as a old school coach, which he is in a lot of ways, but he's also updated, which is why he recruits all the good players he gets. They throw the ball almost as much as anybody in the country. And you never would have thought that 10 years ago. Like Saban is, by God, I'm gonna run the ball down your throat. Blah, blah, blah. We'll only throw if we have to. And now he's winging it, you know, 45 times a game.
You know, I'm kind of out of it this morning. Did I say Matt Wolf or Matt Corral?
Matt Corral.
Okay. Because I was thinking about Matt Wolf.
You were?
Yeah, because he's, you know, doing pretty good this week. So we'll see.
Matthew Wolf.
Yeah, Matthew.
Yeah, Matthew Wolf. He of the unique golf swing playing on the LIV Tour.
Love it.
By the way, I'm going to be, speaking of college football, still with it, I'm flying to Chicago, as I said, to go to Notre Dame game. I'm a big Notre Dame fan, as we all know. And so just through
See, I know the whole damn song.
I know. Trombone section.
Hey, Ole Miss, by the way, you're going to be there, but Ole Miss beat Notre Dame. When Notre Dame came to Jackson, Mississippi back in the 70s when I was at Ole Miss.
Okay.
And they were number one in the nation.
Oh.
Yeah. And who was the head coach in the 70s, early 70s?
Early 70s would have been Era.
Mid-70s, Era Parsegian, yeah. Who came after Parsegian?
Dan Devine.
Yeah, it was Era Parsegian. Because we beat them, and they left town, and they interviewed Parsegian, and he said, well, let me say this about Mississippi. Our team will never go back to that state. He said, hell, we won't even let an aircraft that we're being transported on fly over the state of Mississippi.
You were that inhospitable Notre Dame.
We were not nice to those Catholics. That's sorry. those white Anglo-Saxon Protestants took them to the mat.
Well, I'm going to the game. They're playing Cal tomorrow. So I'm going to the game. Just ran in. A friend of a friend is kind of connected at Notre Dame. Says, hey, I can get you tickets. I can get you a parking pass. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's too good to resist. So anyway, grew up as a Notre Dame fan in the Chicago suburbs. My dad kind of made us all have to be Notre Dame fans back then. So anyway, going to be fun. Going with my son, my wife, and my brother are all going. So
what is Notre Dame going to do with all the mergers and the SEC is going to become the NFL, basically?
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Where are they going to go? Are they going to stay independent?
I don't know. I mean, that's where a lot of people are wondering themselves, and I don't know. I mean, I don't have that much insight into it other than if Notre Dame can stay independent, I think that's their first choice if it plays out that way for a lot of reasons. One, because they always have been, so there's a tradition there. Two, the financial benefits are substantial because they keep all their money. We all know in a conference, right, Ole Miss has to share their money with the SEC and all the other ones that share their money, and it benefits being in a conference if you're not Alabama or Georgia, because meaning that the smaller, lesser schools, if you will, that don't normally go to bowl games or win national championships still get a big piece of a big pie thanks to Alabama and those guys doing well. So being in a conference makes a lot of sense. But, you know, like I said, Notre Dame keeps all their money now, all their TV money, all their revenue, everything comes to them. They don't share any of that stuff, which seems greedy and bad. I get where people would be like, well, why do they get exception, right? Why do they? Well, I'm just saying that they've always been that way, right? I mean, Big Ten, Michigan, and Alabama, and they've always been in their conference, and that's their tradition. Well, Notre Dame's traditions have always been independent. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I guess the Big Ten would be the natural fit for them. And since the Big Ten now goes apparently from Japan to Europe, you can be anywhere in the world and be part of the Big Ten.
I think they're part of the LIV tour, I should say. I think they're part of the LIV tour now. Yeah. Hey, by the way, I can't say that bus joke we made in pre-show, can I?
No.
Okay. I won't tell that.
Can't say that.
But it was funny.
College football coming up. Who's Alabama? I mean, I'm sorry. Who's Ole Miss play?
Georgia Tech. In Atlanta. And I'm cool. I was torn about going, but we're going to a great place here in Nashville. One of our favorite steak places. If you come to Nashville, go to Jimmy Kelly's. It's fantastic. It's an old house. It's been owned by the family for generations. Old antebellum home. It's cool steak place.
Nice.
So we're going to go there Saturday night with some good friends and golf buddies and wives and hang out, have a little fun, lay by the pool because it's going to be 95 degrees here Sunday. My God.
I know. I'm going to the Notre Dame game again, and it's going to be like 85, 87 degrees. I thought, wow, when we were thinking about going and making our plans a month ago or more, we were kind of thinking it'd be a nice, cool fall day where you can go and it'd be 65 degrees.
It's going to be
a hot one. So
the halter tops are out. The sorority girls that aren't going to Notre Dame are there. That's why I always wanted to go to Florida. You know, I mean,
because of the co-eds?
Oh boy, Florida. Well, Ole Miss has absolutely gorgeous young ladies who go there. University of Florida, they go to football games and bikinis. I mean, it's crazy.
I don't know if that's the case, but okay.
I don't know. Maybe. I loved Ole Miss. You know that.
All 7 years you loved it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, fat, what is it? Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through college, and I wasn't fat.
The other two?
I'm not going to go there.
Hey, so
GPA 0.0000.
Mr. Blutarski. I'm curious about going back to the golf thing. I'm looking at the Dallas Morning News today. And I guess this is just the way it is. I mean, there's a serious division between the PGA and the LIV Tour, but there's a division in the media too, right? And you can seriously tell when some writers are writing how they slant about the wordage and everything else. It's almost like if they do Republican or Democrat, you know, unfortunately, for a lot of media now, they take their sides.
When it comes to this, they do
as well. I'm looking at the Dallas Morning News. While there's a story in there about DeChambeau and the LIV Tour, which he's a local guy and an SMU boy and all that kind of stuff, there's always, probably at every newspaper, there's also the leaderboard, right, from the different tournaments that are going on, LPGA or the PGA or the Champions Tour. They show the leaderboard. They never show the LIV Tour leaderboard.
They're going to. Trust me. They're going to start because it ain't going away. Thank you. Quote, it ain't going away. Yeah. No, it's not. And if the PGA Tour keeps doing what they're doing, I don't know. It just, God, can't we just all get along, you know?
Well,
Norman, you saw what Norman said yesterday. Greg said, you know what, we tried to talk to him and tried to talk to him and tried to talk to him, and they wouldn't even return our call.
They got the Heisman every time. Yeah. Right.
So there you go.
Yep. So forget, now he's saying, I don't have any interest in talking to them now.
Yeah.
He said about any kind of an agreement. Now, having said that, we all know the way the world works, whether it's in Washington or whether it's at a union table or the owners against the players in the NBA. Yeah, they all act like we're done. We're getting up off the table. We're never going to come back and talk to them again. And then, of course, they come to an agreement.
Money talks.
So I would imagine, even though Norman's saying that, and I get that he's probably puffing his chest a bit because they're doing well and it seems like they're getting very good players and attention and drama and all that kind of stuff that they want. He can feel a little bit confident about that. He doesn't need right now thinking I don't need the PGA Tour. So he's going to play that card. But ultimately, and as he said in that same interview, we always thought we were going to be a part of the golf world. We never thought we were replacing the PGA Tour or the European Tour or any other tour. We're not trying to muscle anybody out. We just want to be part of the golf world. And we think we can all, just like the European Tour and the PGA Tour and the Asian, they all work together, right? And the commissioners get along and we could be part of that. Uh-huh. And that's part of the lawsuit, right? That's still going on, which is, why are you acting like a monopoly? Why are you telling us and your players that they can't play in both? You let them play European events or yes, you have to have different ways of doing it, but there's ways to play a European event and a PGA Tour event and an Asian Tour event. Why can't you also put the Live Tour in there? So that's the genesis, if you will, of the lawsuit. We'll see.
You know what monkeys do at the zoo? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Throwing things. Well, that's what this is. This is just a poop slinging contest right now.
Yeah.
And it's just it's ridiculous.
Well, it doesn't really serve anybody, does it?
No, you know, it doesn't.
Everybody's pumping up their chest and acting like they're the big gorillas. And I guess the PGA Tour has always done that. And in all honesty, gotten away with it for a large part. I'm sure there's been friction between PGA Tour and if you talked old times or whenever, and the European Tour, there was friction and there was commissioners that didn't like it or whatever. That happens. It's the way it is. So I imagine that at some point, reasonable people will get together and say, okay, how can we make this work? Because the point DeChambeau's making, and back in that article that I was reading, is he said, I do not have any buyer's remorse, was one of his quotes. Couldn't be happier being where I'm at. He says, I have the ultimate respect for the PGA Tour and all the opportunities it provided for me, but this was the best decision for me, which I believe is what most of those guys say. I don't think any of the Live Tour guys have, well, with the exception maybe of Phil at the very beginning, have badmouthed the PGA Tour. They're all saying, hey, happy that we did what we did. Thanks for the opportunity, but here's my new opportunity.
Yeah.
Why can't you be happy about that? And that's where I think at some point those level heads will make a good decision and say, okay, we can figure out some way to make it all work and
well, I hope
see what's
so,
going to happen.
But you know, offline in conversations we've had over the past few days, that we're not going to go there on the air, but you know my feelings about the whole situation and the past and the present and the potential future and a lot of people give a lot also, I mean, to the PGA Tour. They do. Give a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, it's kind of like a marriage. It goes both ways.
And I think there has to be some humbling, if you will.
Yep.
PGA Tour has, as I said, acted as a big tough schoolhouse bully a lot of times to different entities, and yet at the same time given a lot of money to charities and done good things. I think they need to tap the brakes a little bit, in my opinion, the PGA Tour, and say, okay, let's figure out what we can do, and maybe it'll take a year. I'm not saying it's going to happen next week. But maybe it'll take a while, but somehow figure out how's it best that we can all make something work here so that we still see Bryson DeChambeau in his big drive game and Dustin Johnson playing in PGA Tour events and certainly playing in majors. You know, you want that. I don't want to see a major. I don't want to see a big tournament and not see the best players. And if the best players happen to be here, okay, well, let's let them qualify however they need to qualify and let them get in.
Well,
what harm does that do?
A lot of stuff going on. So,
By the way, Ricky
I get asked constantly, and you do too. When you go out to your club, and when I go out to my club, you know, we are asked because we're part of this whole thing, constantly about, well, what's going on here? What do you think about this? What do you think? And you know what? There comes a time when you say, I'm really tired of talking about it. Let's just go play golf, okay?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's where we are. I mean, we're talking about Live Golf and PGA Tour and. He said, she said, and we'll just stop the shit, okay?
Yeah,
just stop it, and let's talk golf and quality golf. And who's the best player in the world? Well, who's playing the best today is the best player in the world, okay? The best player in the world's got the big pocket.
But it's not going to end, Frank, as much as you
He doesn't
like
play as
to,
much anymore.
Because there's still going to be conversations. And one of those was happening at the next stop on the, I mean, we have the President's Cup coming up,
here
right?
We're
talking
go.
About that. Who could play? Who can't play? Well, suddenly Australia can't, you know, you got Cameron Smith. He can't play. So that's going to affect the President's Cup, which might've been a whitewash anyway, but it's certainly taking the number three player in the world out of the international team, off the international team. It's affecting the Ryder Cup and who's the captains of the Ryder Cup, right? We saw what happened there. So it doesn't end. And at the same time, over in Europe, they're playing at, what is it, Italian Open, right? They're playing at the venue outside of Rome that the Ryder Cup will be at next year, right? So you've got European guys playing in this tournament because they want to look at that golf course, one of them being Rory. Yeah. Well, guess what? Rory does not keep his mouth closed about a lot of this stuff.
He's a little overexposed right now, isn't he?
Rory steps out and puts his foot in his mouth, I think, a lot of times. And again, my opinion, I think Rory's going to regret his hardline stance that he's taken about this stuff. Most of the time when you see people take these really hardline stances against one thing or another, unless it's a really obvious cause, right?
We're all you mean like me?
Yeah, yeah. They regret it, right? It's like, if you can't, you can do it. Here's an adult. And so his stance about all anti-Liv and these guys aren't right and they don't deserve to play here and they shouldn't be in this. He wouldn't even mention Henrik Stenson's name when he talked about the former captain of the Ryder Cup when Stenson got taken out because he went to Liv Tour. And they put in Luke Donald. He said, and Luke Donald, and the other guy. And you're like, okay. So that pettiness, right?
That is very petty.
Say Henrik's name. It's going to bite him in the butt. I really think that Rory's going down a stupid road. You know, it might be exactly what he wants to do. And Rory's made his money and done and whatever. But I think Rory's going to be, why make these enemies that you don't need to? They're not doing anything against Rory, right? They're saying, hey, we love the PGA Tour. This is a great opportunity for me. And I feel like it's a thing for my family that I can do. I'm Harold Varner. I'm not Rory McIlroy. I don't fly private jets. I don't make huge amounts of money. I don't have endorsements and everything else. This is a great opportunity for, why would you applaud Harold Varner and say, okay, good for you. That's what you want to do. Instead, he puts his foot on him. And I don't like that, you know, and all the other Live Tour players. And I think Rory's not only keeping it spinning, he's keeping his legacy. And I used to kind of pull for Rory and I'm ambivalent at best. I'm like, nah, I don't care. Rory wins, he doesn't win. I definitely wanted Scottie Scheffler to beat him at the Tour Championship. So I'm like, you know, Rory, shut the hell up. You know, you're not in the same world that a lot of these guys are. Yeah. And that's why I give some credence to Spieth. Spieth has done to me what you should do as one of those elite guys who could make. He's like, I'm not really saying anything. And you don't hear Spieth go one way or the other.
No, you don't.
He doesn't come down on these guys. He doesn't criticize and blah, blah, blah. So it's really weird. Now, we have to be clear about this. Rory has business dealings with the PGA Tour. He has behind the scenes, not illegal, I'm saying, but behind the scenes that we don't all know about. He has different investment, different things going on with the PGA Tour. Well, that makes it very much a slanted argument for him because he's invested, literally money invested with the PGA Tour. So that's why he's so pro PGA Tour. Okay, well, that still shouldn't influence.
Well, let's get the full disclosure going.
On the other you know, let's let everybody know
just
that.
Just like the Wall Street Journal 2 days ago had the article about the Citation 10 that the tour has and Jay Monahan's use of such device all over the country. Okay, that's in his contract. He can do that. Okay, that's part of it. Now, how they file their income tax is a whole different story if it's not in there and that's not put in as a possible, you know, I guess income, and then there should be taxes on that because he's flying it 17 times to whatever it was. I don't know.
Yeah.
But damn, let's just, like I said earlier, can we just stop this 501c6?
Right.
Let's just stop this crap. Jesus, criminal.
Because it'll come up. It'll come up in this lawsuit. Something. I mean,
everything's going to. It's getting nasty.
The like you said, it's a divorce.
You know what? You can't wear white shoes on the PGA Tour or any tour anymore because they're going to get, you know what, all over them. They are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hey, you know what I want? Over 60 guys, over 60, okay, which used to be the super seniors on the senior tour, okay, PGA Tour, the senior tour, now the PGA Tour champions. I want the grumpy old man tour, the get off my lawn tour. Get off my lawn.
You'd be the first to join?
That's right. Yeah, hell yes, I will. I'm just, I tell you, Tim, you know my personality real well. We've been together a lot of years, more than most marriages. And you know how I am about this. I just get wound up, and you have to pull me down off the ledge before I jump.
Yeah.
Because it just irritates the crap out of me to, And the media does the same thing. You know, I get all wound up about the media because I didn't come from media. You did. You're yeah. you know, national media, CBS.
Yeah.
I didn't. Okay. I came from the music world. So, and I'm not one of those guys who likes to hug trees. Trust me. I don't want to hug a tree. I want to cut it down and burn it for firewood. Don't care. I use styrofoam cups because I really don't give a damn about the whales. Okay. I'll be honest. But I'm kidding about that. But I do use styrofoam cups. Had a lady in the checkout line not too long ago. You got to hear this, Tim. I haven't told you this story. I'm checking out with about 4 bags of styrofoam cups, the 16-ounce ones, right? Yeah. I use them for everything. I mean, I monogram them, you know, so nobody will pick it up. I put an X on it. It's mine. Well, this lady says, excuse me, sir, but do you realize that it will take 200 years for those to decompose in a landfill? And I just stopped. And I looked at her, you know, slowly I turned. And I just looked at her and said, well, darling, I guess I just won't be around to worry about that now, will I? I thought the woman was going to crucify me right there in the checkout line. She got so mad and went off. You're one of those people that, you're a Republican. I went, oh, my God.
Wow.
And the guy, I was at Publix, and the guy at the check stand went, oh, we ought to just give you this food and get you out of here. Before you get killed.
Free
but it's just
cups.
Everybody is so wound up.
Yeah, they are.
It is. And we had Elkington on the other day. And he said some stuff on the show that I'm sure the PGA Tour didn't like a bit.
Yeah.
But he was a guest.
Yeah.
Get over it. He's a guest. He has an opinion. We have opinions. We have freedom of speech.
Yeah.
As long as
yeah.
it's not fire in a theater.
Yeah.
So
well,
anyway.
There are consequences. I mean, when people, yeah, but when people... Freedom of speech is a little bit delusional to some people. What it means, literally, is that you're not going to get arrested. You're not going to go to jail like other countries would do, still do, if you say the wrong thing the wrong time and don't go with what the government says. It doesn't say that there aren't consequences. So people can have free speech. You might also lose your job because of that. People don't always agree. The boss may not like what you have to say.
Wow.
You're not going to jail, but you might not have your job. You can also argue back and forth. You can argue back and forth.
You don't want me to go there, do you?
No. And that's okay. I mean, people should be able to disagree, but you're right. There's a quick like fuse. It used to be kind of a slow discussion and here's what I think. Now it's like within like two sentences, it's everybody's dropping their gloves. You know, and you're like, oh, okay, here we go. So to that point, I think Rory has done that. And I think he, again, will regret it. I think he's getting too vocal about the whole thing because you will have to, there's European guys. There's guys that he's grown up playing with, right? That are going to go the way of the LIV Tour. And what if and when they become one again? He's going to be in a group and be playing with Dustin Johnson. And is Dustin Johnson going to sit there and, you know, are they going to never talk? And that's not the way golf is. What is enjoyable about golf is that you hit a shot, then you walk down the fairway, and usually you talk with the guy you're playing with. And, yes, I'm trying to beat you, but at the same time, how's the wife? How's the guy? That stuff's going to get really fractured, right? It's going to be who talks to who won't talk to who. Is Rory going to put his foot down and tell the PGA Tour, I will never play? If these guys are allowed to play at the Masters, I'm not going to tee it up with Phil. I'm not going to tee it up with Patrick Reed.
Well, that's what's going on.
You know?
Yeah, that's going on right now. I guarantee you, behind the scenes, I guarantee you that there were conversations at the DP World Tour offline that said, look, don't whatever you do, don't pair me with that person. You better not do it. Let's get Poulter and Billy Horschel together.
Yeah.
That ought to be fun. We can put hockey masks on the second hole and get after it.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Well, even Fitzpatrick, right, who just won the Open Championship, the U.S. Open, he's very much softer about this than Rory is. He's like, hey, I don't have any problem. I have friends that are on the LIV Tour, and that's their choice, and good for them, and I'm going to play golf where I play golf. Well, so now is Rory going to be pissed at Fitzpatrick and go, how come you're not holding the hard line like I am, right? And it's why I kind of bring it back to this union thing. Whenever you see, especially in sports, we've seen these strikes. What about those guys who break the strike, right, who go against it and say, you know what, I got a family to feed, and so I'm going to keep playing. And those guys are going, oh, you can't be down here. You're ruining our strong line again. I don't know. That's almost where Rory is. He's like a union boss that's trying to keep everybody in line with him. And
I was about to say that.
Ranks,
The teamsters are going to take over the tour pretty soon.
Yes.
How you doing? Hey, come here. I got to talk to you for a minute. You know, we don't like what you're saying to the people, you know?
I mean, it's
– Really?
It's, and that's where Rory's becoming Jimmy Hoffa kind of. You know, he's like, he's just pounding his fist on the desk, and I'm going, oh, come on.
Yeah, he needs to quit that. Go play golf. Let your clubs do the talking.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Well, wow, by the way, we did talk about the Fortinet and
what's
going on.
And that's going to be a fun tournament, by the way. They had a rain delay. I'll get into some of this real quick because we have kind of gone off the rails because of
just sunny demeanor this morning. I'm just so happy to be here. 47
events on the 2022-23 PGA Tour season, and the Fortinet is the first of those 47. Whew, it's going to be a long season, okay? So, the Fortinet has opened each season since the tour went to a wraparound schedule in 13-14. You know, when I read that, I looked back and said, 13-14, we started that wraparound stuff then?
Yeah.
So it's like the season that keeps on giving. It just never ends.
But we're changing that, aren't we?
But Max Homa.
Changing it, aren't they?
They are. They're going to go back to it in 24, back to the calendar season. But my boy Max Homa, the defending champion, is 7-under right now. Now, when you hear this show, he may not be, but he is right now. And I love Max Homa. I mean, how can you not? He's hilarious on Twitter and Facebook and all that. But you got our boy Ricky Fowler.
He's
doing good. Maybe if we lose enough players on the PGA Tour, Ricky Fowler will come back. Wow, that was nasty. Ricky Fowler, do something because everybody loves Ricky Fowler.
Shot a 67.
One of the nicest people on tour. My God, he's such a nice person.
He's changed equipment and he's changed coaches.
Well, back to the man. Butch Harmon is the man to go to.
He also has a new caddy.
Yes,
so he's making the changes and saying, okay, let's see if that gets me out of my funk. He's been in about a three-year funk. And he shot a 67. So to your point, he's 5-under after the first round. We got to see how he finishes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when guys get into these funks, they can still play a good round of golf.
Like me
but
yesterday.
They can't play four, right? I mean, it's putting those four together that get you in the top 10 or get you a win or whatever. That's a challenge for a lot of these guys. So we'll see how Ricky backs up the 67.
You know, some of the other past champions in this tournament, let's just for instance, Stuart Sink, Cameron Champ, Kevin Tway, Brendan Steele. And one of my favorite guys out there because he's an astrophotographer and got me hooked on going out buying a monster telescope. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I spent so much money. Anyway, I love my telescope. It's bad cool. It hooks up to the computer system. And I thought I had a great setup until I went out to my friend who built a new home on the lake here, Hawk Walensky. Ever heard that name, Hawk Walensky?
No, I haven't.
Hawk is Dan Walensky. Hawk Walensky wrote most of the stuff for Chaka Khan.
Oh, okay.
You know, I Feel for You and Through the Fire. I mean, all this stuff he did for Chaka Khan. He built he has a $500,000 observatory on his property. Wow. I thought I'd spent a fortune on mine. I go out there and here's this observatory. And I'm like, Hawk, he said, come on in. And he has screens everywhere. I thought I'd gone to NASA. Coolest damn thing I've ever seen in my life. And, of course, he has the latest simulator and a special room for that, too. And, you know, I wrote some songs. I never got that kind of money. You know, $25 million for that. But whatever. Anyway, we're talking about the tour, not my friends that have telescopes and things. But Jimmy Walker is who I'm talking about.
I was going to say,
Jimmy Walker is...
Kind of buried the lead there.
Jimmy
Walker.
You're a trained media guy. I'm totally untrained in everything I've ever done.
Yeah.
It's obvious, isn't it? Yeah. Jimmy Walker.
Jimmy Walker.
Now, there's rumors he's going to live tour. But he's playing in this tournament, the Fortinet, and he's doing pretty doggone good. I mean, where's Jimmy right now? 200 through 16 holes, and it's suspended.
Jimmy Walker is right there with Ricky in the he can't complete a tournament anymore. He's lost a lot of his game.
Yeah.
And so there's actually a story I read a couple of days ago. And because of the LIV Tour, listen to this, how everything is kind of interconnected. Because of the LIV Tour and guys that have now gone to the LIV Tour, their numbers are all taken off the PGA Tour, meaning sometimes career money.
Yes.
So Jimmy was close to saying, I'm done with golf. He's only 40. You think of Jimmy Walker. First of all, he looks so much older. He's 43 years old.
Yeah.
He looks like he's
older. Well, he doesn't look that.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
You've got a bad TV. What kind of TV do you have?
He's always been one of those guys. I'm not saying because he's old and wrinkled. He's just got a look that looks older. And so
he looks more mature than some of the others his age.
He looks older. He looks older. I'll say it the way I say it. He looks older. And he looks like he'd easily be 50. So I'm saying, okay, when at 43, he's got a lot of years left before he's ready for the Champions Tour. To my point.
Yeah, but if he hears this, you don't.
To the Champions Tour, they're gonna make that change, Frank. I predict that. I'm telling you right now.
The 45
part of the LIV Tour is gonna be because they don't want a Jimmy Walker to go to the LIV Tour because you know I've kind of lost it. So I'll take what would they pay him? I don't know. Let's say they pay him $15 million to get Jimmy Walker to switch over, and then all the money he could play for. and he's not going to miss cuts and all that kind of stuff. Okay, Jimmy is perfect for Jimmy Walker. Well, the PGA Tour, I think, for that counterbalance, will say, now we're going to lower the Champions Tour down to 45, which I say
they should have a long time ago.
Anyway,
the women did.
There's plenty of guys that have, we've talked to Harrison Frazier and other guys who get injured, who have problems. Jimmy Walker's had a lot of injury problems. Yeah. It's hard to keep your game going until you're 50. So what happens from 40 to 50? That's where a lot of them fall into this crack of 10 years of not playing or not qualifying. I think they're going to lower it so that now a Jimmy Walker guy is not going to be so tempted to say, okay, let me find another way to make money playing golf because I can't do it on the PGA Tour.
Well, I bet you our friend Paul Stankowski won't like that because he had to wait.
Well, I don't know. I think those guys are going to say, times move on, right? Everything's not always
equal. I agree with that. So, and I think they should lower it. I think you're right.
Age.
I think
it's a better age. You know,
it's a better age, 45. Yeah. But the PGA Tour Champions is a great tour to follow. It really is, folks.
Yeah,
if you have not been to a PGA Tour Champions event, go. Yeah. Because you can get up close, you can talk to them, you can sit in the bar with them, you can sit in the restaurant with them. PGA Tour, you're not going to get that.
No.
I mean, we as media barely get to
access.
Them. And the access is limited by the tour. I mean, they say, no. You have to go through us to get an interview.
Just recently in the last, I think the one in Michigan, I can't remember the last Champions Tour, PGA Tour Champions, but Justin Leonard played in it, right? And he's gotten into broadcasting.
Oh, he played in it, didn't win it, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. And so we've seen him in broadcasting because he's also one of those guys. And Justin Leonard is, won 14 times in the tour, won a major, been in multiple Ryder Cups. I mean, he had a great career, but he fell into that crack. From about 44, 45 on, he couldn't play on the PGA Tour. Didn't have the distance, didn't have his game, various reasons. Now you're sitting there going, okay, what do I do for 6 years? I mean, that's a long time. And for some of these guys, it's 10 years to wait until I can. And Stankowski's in the same boat. He got into the leather goods and different. So that's my point, is that there's very good golfers out there. Why are you missing them? For 10 years, a lot of these guys are sitting on the sidelines waiting till they might be able to play on the PGA Tour Champions.
Yeah, PGA Tour Champions this week is the Sanford International, and that's in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. The Pure Insurance Championship is the 23rd through the 25th on the Monterey Peninsula, Pebble Beach. That's a fabulous event, too, to go to. And they get a lot of turnout there. But October 7th through the 9th is the Constellation Furyk and Friends event at Temecula Country Club in Jacksonville, Florida. And I will be there for that. So the whole week. So that'll be fun. Then the SAS at Prestonwood Country Club in Cary, North Carolina. Ha, got you excited, didn't I? You thought it was going to be Dallas.
Oh, I was so waiting.
That's in Cary, I know. No, but the Champions Tour, my point, is really a fun tour to go to, fun tour to watch. I enjoy going out to Tucson every year for the Coligard Classic, formerly the Conquistador Classic. Phil Mickelson won that tournament as an amateur when it was a PGA Tour event.
That's right.
Back then, on that same golf course, been there forever. So that's a great tournament. Anyway, PGA Tour Champions is great. 45 lowering it. I think you're right.
I think
you're spot on with that. Have you talked to Stanky about that?
Like I said, let me finish my Jimmy Walker. The reason it is not only because of the Champions Tour, he now has moved into the top 50 because of the, I'm using air quotes, defection of a few guys going to the LIV Tour.
Defection.
And now
I no longer wish to follow the Constitution.
Their numbers are taken off the board. Jimmy Walker moved into the top 50 money. So he gets an exemption for this year to play on the PGA Tour. So he's saying, as of now, and I know he was a rumor to go to the LIV Tour, he's saying, I've got a chance to play on the PGA Tour and maybe make something happen. I didn't think. I really was kind of headed towards retirement and not even playing anymore.
Yeah.
And now, because he's top 50, he gets that 1 year free pass, if you will. He'll get to play. So we'll see Jimmy Walker, not only this week, but in more tournaments. Yeah. And we'll see. He won a PGA champion. That's what's so funny, Frank, is he won the PGA championship like 7 years ago. Not that long ago.
Yeah, I know.
Right? We're not talking about he won it 26 years ago and he's been hanging on. And yet your game, like Ricky Fowler, your game can go away
pretty quickly, within
2, 3, 4, 5 years. And you're wondering, what are you going to do now? So Jimmy Walker's back because of the LIV Tour pushed him into that category. So, yeah, it's interesting.
In the words of Ken Venturi in the movie Tin Cup, when he says, what's this guy going to do next year? Probably be selling Countess Mara ties in the pro shop.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, they go sell real estate. We have a friend, let's don't say his name because we like him. You worked with his wife. That is selling real estate now, isn't he?
I think so.
Steven?
Yeah.
I mean, so get your education.
Well,
make sure that you have something to fall back on because
And Rory doesn't have to worry about that. That's the thing. No, a lot of these guys worry about it because when am I going to lose it? I'm 35 and I'm okay, everything's good. But 35 doesn't take me the rest of my life. What if I do lose it at 35? I don't have $200 million in the bank. I don't have all these endorsements coming out, blah, blah, blah. Whatever might have happened in Rory's world is not, or Tiger's, is not the same as a lot of these other guys. That's why they have to look at it differently. And so, again, to the point, okay, let them be free. Let them do what they want to do. That makes sense to them. Doesn't have to make sense to you, Rory. But, you know, the world doesn't revolve around
you. Well, he's getting
a
little overexposed right now, I think.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's talking about the DP World Tour needs a reinvention of itself, and so Roy, you need to go win something. So I think I'd focus on the practice range for a while.
Hey Frank, before we take a break, do you ever, when you go into your clubhouse? I know you drink your scotch and you like your scotch. Why wouldn't you after a round of golf? But do you dabble into beer once in a while?
And I do.
The reason I'm asking.
I do, and there's certain beers I like, certain beers I don't like, but.
Because there's if you drink really, really cold beer, and I love cold
beer. Yes, absolutely.
If it starts to get a little bit warm, I'm like, okay, I can't. And you can't really put ice in it like you could your cocktail.
Some people do, and that's nuts.
They do. And I'm like, what's that all about? Well, I found a new beer that I want to tell people about. It's Yuengling beer. And now maybe you know about Yuengling beer. It's the oldest brewery in the United States. But a friend of mine who I've gotten to be friends with is involved with Yuengling. And we went out the other day and to a place that has incredibly cold beer, which
was
awesome.
Piece.
And we drank a few of those. They've got a lot of different flavors. They got Oktoberfest that's coming out now, but a lot of different lagers and pilsners. And it's the oldest, as I said, oldest brewery. It goes back almost 200 years back to Pennsylvania. And in the last 20 years, they've been moving from east, if you will, Pennsylvania, to the west. And they've been in Texas now for about a year. But this is about as far as they've come. So west of Texas, they really don't have Yuengling beer. So it's something that will eventually get there and it's moving, but check them out. Yuengling beer. I just have to endorse them because it's such a good beer. And if you go to their website, yuengling.com, Yuengling, by the way, is spelled Yuengling. It's a German name. A guy from Germany came over 200 years ago, started the brewery, still family owned by the Yuengling family. But if you go to yuengling.com and put in your zip code or your city, they'll let you know in your area where you can find it at a grocery store or a liquor store near you, that you get your beer. But it is awesome. And by the way, Frank, coming out in November, they've got, now you think of Pennsylvania, there's a town in Pennsylvania, they started Yuengling beer. There's also a town called Hershey, Pennsylvania, that started a little chocolate company. They have a bit of chocolate flavored Yuengling beer that comes out in November that they say when they test it, people go nuts. Sells off the shelves. They can't keep it on. And that'll come out in November, the Hershey's infused, if you will, Yuengling beer.
Well, I've got to jump in on you here because I'll tell you, when you told me, you know, Yuengling was coming on board, Yuengling beer is one of my favorite beers. If I drink a beer, it's 99.9% of the time it's a Yuengling.
There you go.
And I love it. I mean, I'm dead serious. I really like Yuengling beer. And you're absolutely right. I cannot drink a warm beer or a semi-cool beer. Can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and you know the difference between wealth and poverty?
Ice?
Well, that's it. You got it. You got it. You buried mine. Thank you. Killed my joke. Rich people never run out of ice. That's right. Oh my God. Get us out of here and let's
go.
Well, we're gonna break and play some interviews from the media center, right?
From the Fortinet Championship, some of the players that are playing there. Beautiful golf course. I did that play by play there. About 5-6 years ago at Napa. It was when the forest fires were going on. And we actually, after the championship, it might have been the year that Tway won, after it was over, seriously, they gave the trophy. You could almost see the glow in the distance of fires over the hills, but they made everybody evacuate. Like they said, you've got to get out of here. Everybody go to your car. Everybody drive off because they didn't know if the wind changed. It would have been coming within a couple hours to right there at the doorsteps of the Silverado Resort that we were at. So it was a
Johnny
really
Miller's place.
Cool, but also a little bit scary. Like
well, it did.
Hit the road.
Remember, it finally, it burned. It
got part of it.
Part of it. The grandstands on 18 got them too, I think.
It got part of it. The course was fine. But anyway, that was a vivid memory.
Fred Albers, who's part of the team, tells a great story about getting out of town and looking in the rearview mirror and seeing the fires.
Yeah.
And he was like, go faster.
Yeah. It's like the glow of the fire behind it. It was really surreal.
That's scary.
It happened. It's
fire is a vicious, vicious.
Because Napa's
evil
beautiful.
Thing.
I mean, Napa's one of the most beautiful places. Yeah. But then, you know, those fires come in California. They never end, do they? There's always fires going.
God
in California
hates California.
You know, I guess. God hates California. So dry and everything. Anyway, we have some interviews from some of the players at the Fortinet Championship. So we're going to take a break when we come back. But you'll hear from some of those players and what they think about the beautiful Silverado Resort there in Napa, California, and how play's gone so far at the Fortinet Championship. Frank and I will be back. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we'll return right after this.
Are you ready to improve your golf game once and for all? A PXG club fitting will bring you greater distance, accuracy, and consistency from tee to green. At your personal club fitting, you'll meet with a PXG fitting specialist to discuss your skill level and goals while introducing you to the PXG product line. Next, your fitter will analyze your performance data with TrackMan golf simulators as you hit your own clubs, if you have them with you, and you should, and a selection of PXG clubs. PXG fitting specialists are highly trained golf equipment and fitting experts who work exclusively for PXG. Watch your performance skyrocket as you are expertly fitted for the right club heads, loft, lie, shafts, and grips to increase your distance and accuracy while lowering your score. Nothing compares with a PXG club fitting to improve your performance and level up your fun. Schedule your PXG club fitting now at pxg.com or by calling 844-PLAY-PXG. That's 844-PLAY-PXG. Folks, do it today. You'll be glad you did.
All right. Good morning, everyone. We would like to welcome the Fortinet Championship defending champion, Max Homa, to the media center here. Max, welcome back.
Thank you.
I wanted to start off with some opening comments on what it's like to be back here beginning the 22-23 season and what a big kickoff it was last year for your season with a win here.
Yeah, this event has always been special to me. Any of them in California mean a lot to me, just being from Southern California, going to school up here. This used to be the fries.com event. It was my first pro start. It was down at Cordoval, and I had a good week. So it's always held a very cool place in my heart. Napa is one of the most fun cities. It's my wife's favorite tournament to come to, which means a lot when you're scheduling. I remember last year we don't get a particularly long off season, and I didn't want to come play just because I was tired, and she said, well, it's Napa, you're going. So a shocker, she was right. It worked out. But yeah, now getting a partnership with Fortinet, they've done an awesome job not only with this event, but you know, partnering with the tour and helping out the Canadian tour. So this event is it's just growing, you know, going higher and higher in my book. But getting back here, anytime you come to an event you had success at, the rush of emotions and the fun memories you have are really cool, and getting to come back to like an event I already said that I loved, to love it even more is amazing. And I have friends and family, you know, that are live up and around here, so it's always nice coming back here and feeling very familiar.
And finished last season number 5 at the Tour Champ. How's your game feeling entering this week?
It was such a long layoff. I was hoping I still had it, but fortunately, it still feels pretty good. Yeah, it's a game was really solid last year, and I always dealt with pretty much the last 2-3 seasons. I had pretty good years, and I would always deal with a lull at the back end of the summer. We kind of addressed that a little bit prior to this event last season, and it was really nice to see the game not take a total dip. It started to feel like it was going down a little bit, back to how it had been a bit in those lull periods, missing the cut at the Open Championship by one. And I was maybe a little bit anxious about the back end, you know, the playoff part of the season, and finally getting to go through that and maintain some form and play great at Eastlake was cool, just because it felt like a testament to some hard work and then just my little team kind of pointing me in the right direction.
Perfect. With that, we'll open it up to questions to the media. We're going to start off with Cameron Morfitt here on the left.
Hey, Max. You're playing with Michael Kim tomorrow, and I was just wondering what your favorite thing is about him. I know you know him pretty well from school. And then also, are you kind of hoping that his career trajectory follows yours a little bit, where he got on tour, he fell off the tour, he was in, you know, the sort of wilderness for a little while, and now he's back?
Yeah, I have a lot of favorite things about Michael. We've roomed together every road trip in college, so he was like my little brother in college. He's a really, really great dude, hard worker, amazing golfer. So I don't know if I have one favorite thing, but he's a really good kid. And I always root for Michael. It was so weird leaving college, and he stayed for a few months after I had left, and he was just as good a golfer as you could imagine, never missed a fairway, this and that. You would just assume, as you would assume for most great college players, that their trajectory is just going to be straight up. And to see him kind of go into the wilderness a bit was just shocking. But he's the guy that, now that he's found it, he'll get back to going straight up. He's tremendous. He's knowledgeable. He has a ton of just talent. And it was nice to see him find his way. And sometimes that's what it takes. You have to learn you a little bit as a golfer. Sometimes it feels easy, and when the going gets tough, you don't really know what to do because it hasn't happened before. So to see him kind of grind his way through the last 2 years and earn his card back this season, I expect Michael to do a lot of great things in this game.
And any similarities to what you went through?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I mean, the similarity was a lot of bad golf. So I don't know. It seemed kind of similar, but it's hard. It's so interesting when I look back at when I played poorly, and I think that the whole world, golf world, knew exactly what was going on. And you know, I talked to Joel Damon about it once, and he said he had no idea how poorly I was playing. And I realized that you're kind of I always say you're only the protagonist in one person's story, and it's your own, and you're not that important to very many people. So it's hard to keep up with what and how and why things are happening. And, you know, I watch a lot of Michael's golf, but it never felt like it was crazy off. We played practice rounds, and it wasn't, you know, as sharp maybe as it had been in college, but it was still good. But this game's hard. The tour's got a lot of competition. Courses are difficult. If you're a little off, you look like you're a lot off, and then that wears on you or weighs on you a little bit. So some of that probably went on, but it's just golf, man. It's just, there's so few people. They're highlighted every week. You know, the Rahms, the Rorys, the Justins, the Scotties, they're highlighted every week. And it seems like this, you know, you should just keep doing what you're doing. And the reality for most of us, it's not the case.
And we'll move over to the right over here with Marty.
Max, welcome to Napa and to Silverado Resort. Thanks. Last year, over the back nine of the final round, you overtook Maverick McNealy. What clicked for you over those last nine holes, and what continued for you throughout the rest of that season, you know, culminating at the FedEx Cup playoffs, being named by Davis Love to the President's Cup team, just capping a brilliant season of golf? But what did you find in your game here on that last day of the tournament that you were able to transfer through the rest of the season?
I think one thing was very apparent here last year, and it obviously didn't just click for 1-9, but a lot of work on the driver the season prior and turning into a great driver of the ball this past season, and then getting to see it in the first event of the season last year here. This course, if you drive the ball well, you'll have a lot of wedges. I've become a much better wedge player. So getting to see for myself how I can use driver as more of, you know, Rahm said it quite a bit, as more of a weapon, use it to your favor. You know, feel like if it's between driver and three wood, might as well just hit the driver because you hit it. I hit it straight enough. And with, you know, a little bit above average distance, like learning that that's how I'm going to play this game. And just using that for the whole season helped. I drove the ball great last year. My short irons were good, so I felt like I had a strategy when I went to each event. And that was a big change for me. I guess maybe it's the easiest way to put it is I felt like I had an identity in my golf game, and I knew how to take advantage of places because of that.
We're going to go up here first with Ron.
Two questions. First, how do you sort of view your this new place in the game? I mean, you've talked in the past, been very candid about, you know, a few years ago when we talked about how your Twitter following was probably bigger than your game deserved at that time. And the last year or so, things have changed. I mean, you win again, you finish fifth, you make the President's Cup team. How do you sort of view the wider context where you are now?
I think you look at, you almost go kind of small picture, big picture. I look at it as this, because of just how things progress, and it's not just, you know, 1 week changes your life, really, in this case, and it doesn't just vault you straight up to the President's Cup team or top of the world ranking. It doesn't just take 1 week. So once you get, once you start getting there, it doesn't feel like you just transported there. It feels like it was from a lot of things. So small picture, it feels like this is where you should be. But then every once in a while, trying to look at big picture and think to yourself how cool it is where you are, and appreciating that, but also realizing that it's not a fluke. Like I said, it doesn't just take a great week of golf. It takes a couple years of great golf. And I think appreciating that's good, but you appreciate it too long and you might get a little bit complacent. And I've been just trying to go with the flow. And I've always said, I mean, this, get 1% better every day, work hard. Just my goal in this game has always just been to progress. And whether I'm 22 in the world or hopefully one in the world one day, I just want to keep getting better. So golf is a maddening game, but it's actually in the professional ranks, it's quite simple. You can't perfect it, so you can always get better at something. So it's just looking at different areas of little ways we can get a little bit better and keep improving. And it actually, because of that, it becomes quite simple to look at yourself in this new, I guess, myself in this new standing in golf, is that I, as great as my game has felt and as great as my season was last season, and as cool as it is to play the President's Cup, you know, I'd like to play the Ryder Cup next year. I'd like to not need a pick, you know, a captain's pick, all those things. You always have so much more to work for. So it's actually quite easy to embrace it, because it's odd. I got to the Tour Championship this, you know, 3 weeks ago, and my coach Mark asked me if it lived up to what, like, does it feel as good as I thought it would feel? Because it took me 8 years or whatever to make it there. And I said, actually, it doesn't feel as good as I thought it would, because now I'm bummed that I was like 16th going in there. And I was like, but maybe that's the beauty of this, is that there's always something else to kind of push for.
Right. And sort of unrelated question, how strange has this whole year been in the wider golf world with the LIV stuff and some players leaving and some players staying? I'm curious your view of that and where you expect it to go forward. And you mentioned President's Cup, Ryder Cup. How much of, were those lures to keep you here?
Yeah, it's been a very bizarre year. It's actually funny. Last year, I talked to my grandma, and COVID was, maybe it was, yeah, a year and a half ago. And I was saying, man, this just seems like the craziest time to be alive. And my grandma said, it's not so crazy. And I was like, well, what do you mean? This is like wild. The COVID thing was wild. And she goes, oh, when you're, you know, on this planet long enough, like everything starts to feel pretty, it just is, you know, just, you just kind of, like I said, go with the flow, and it's all crazy. So as much as I think that this past year is the craziest year that golf's ever had, I'm sure someone else has a crazier year they can think of. But yeah, it's different. The landscape of golf seems like it's changing. You know, as a fan and a member of the PGA Tour, I'm not happy about the fact that it feels like it's fraying professional golf. There's a lot of people who are being snarky out there and picking at things, and on both sides. I'm not picking on one side, on both sides. And that's a bummer, because I love this game. I love the PGA Tour. And I just want to see professional golf succeed. And again, I'm biased. I would like it to succeed out here. But I think it's easy to look at it and say, you know, the PGA Tour is getting diluted a bit with the competition, but there's a lot of great golfers in the world, and there's going to be more come up through the professional ranks, and you know, even if they do split a bit, this is still currently the best competition there is in golf, and I'm happy to be a part of it and try to help progress that further. But you know, everyone's got a choice in life. It's great for the guys who do have who have made their decision to go over there, because, you know, as long as it makes you happy and you're doing what you think is best for your game, your family, and whatever, that's great. But yeah, for me, the question mark on the world ranking points was a big deal for me. The President's Cup and the Ryder Cup were enormous deals for me. And my love for the PGA Tour was the end all be all for me. But those three things played a big part. You know, I want to be the, I would love to be the number one player in the world, but I damn sure want to know how far up that list I can get, and I didn't want to have to risk that opportunity. And there's just not anything I would have traded out for that. So I want to see where that goes. And there's just, so for me, it was just a, you know, everyone's got a different, like I said, different choice. And that's just where I kind of stood on that.
We're going to go in the back with Alec Yoder and then up to Adam Shupak.
You know, you and Michael Kim, college teammates at Cal, lots of memories there, I'm sure. What is one thing you can share about Michael that maybe we don't know?
So Michael moved to America from Korea when he was 12. So he speaks fluent Korean. Like I said, I used to be in his hotel room every night when we were on the road, and he would talk to his parents. And it's, you know, like one of us talking to our parents. It was very fast, and obviously I don't understand any Korean. It's quite complicated. And so he did that, and then he's going to be so mad I'm telling people this. He did that, and then right after, he starts recording something on his phone, and it would be like me saying, like, I drove my car to the store in Korean. And I was like, what are you doing? And he said, oh, I'm in this Korean 101 class that I'm not supposed to know. I'm not supposed to be fluent in this. I'm like, you are so scummy. But it was great. So I guess the point of that is that Michael's a very funny, awesome dude. Like, he's cool. It's hard to showcase. I understand everyone's personality out here. There's so many people. There's so many personalities. But Michael might just look like a robotic, amazing golfer, but he's a really cool dude, has a passion for sports, a lot of the same interests I have. So it was really cool for a couple of years just getting to kind of get closer with him, and it's going to be really fun to play with him again. I haven't played with him in a while, so it'll be really fun to play with him again up in the Bay Area.
And up front here with Adam.
Max, what was that phone call like from Davis Love?
It was cool. It was so weird because, like, I knew I was on the team. Like, if I wasn't, I would have been pretty devastated. But at that point, just with the points, if you just looked at them, it felt quite obvious. So I kind of knew I was on the team, but you still don't know, I guess. I mean, they could make a different decision. So it was odd that when I got the phone call, I still felt so much relief and happiness. Because, like, for a month, I would talk to Joe all the time, and he's like, you're on the team. Like, it's okay. Like, you made it. And I'm like, but I made it? And I don't know why that phone call finally just broke it down, and I felt very accomplished. I talk about fulfillment a lot, and the opportunity to represent my country as a part of the President's Cup is tremendous. But the thing that's been lingering in my brain since that phone call is, I set out a goal at the end of last year, and I said, I'm making this President's Cup team. It's part of the, you know, to Ron's question about the live stuff, is like, I would not trade my attempt at my goal for anything. Like, that's what matters to, like, my soul. And to fulfill that, like, promise to myself that I was making this freaking team meant a lot to me. Like, that, so as much as I'm excited, as excited as I am to play next week and be with the guys and like I said, represent the United States of America on a golf course is amazing. But to me, getting to, like, tell myself that I accomplished a serious goal I had, and that's why I worked so hard, like, that has hit home a lot for me, and it's made me feel really, really good about all the hours and, you know, the heat in Arizona. I feel a lot of pride in that.
If you were writing one of those, like, letters to yourself and gave it to yourself when you played your first event at the Fry's when it was in Arizona, what would you say?
Keep going, I think. I remember when I was having my bad year, 2017 or whatever it was, 2017, 2018 time period, I remember sitting in a hotel room and I wanted somebody to come down from the heavens and just say, this is how good you are. Like, well, number, tell me I'm 22 in the world, if that's what it is, or is it 1,000? I didn't really care. I just wanted to know what that number was. And I committed to myself that I'm just going to see where I can get to. I'm going to make sure that I do not, there will be no stone unturned, and I will figure out how good I am at that. And if I'm not good enough to be on a President's Cup team, that is totally okay. But I don't want to leave this game at any point, whether it had to be back then because I was playing poorly or hopefully in 20-some-odd years. But I don't want to know. I want to know that I know exactly how good I am. And if I had to write a letter to myself then and say, you're going to make a President's Cup team, I don't, that would have been like almost unthinkable. But the beauty of this game is that you go one shot at a time, one range ball at a time, and you add all, I don't know, a million golf balls I probably hit since then, and you can like quantify it and say, dang, like I made this. So the keep going thing is just important because you just, it's like that, there's that picture, I don't know if it's a meme or whatever, but it's a picture of the guy picking at it with the axe, and he's just like hammering it like a, he's digging for diamonds and gold or whatever, and he like gets to where there's like one more hit and he would have got to it, and he turns around and leaves. And it's like, you might as well just keep going. Like, the failure is in quitting. So that's something I think I've had, but it would have been even more useful to be able to tell myself in 2013 that if you just keep digging at this, you're gonna be quite happy in the end.
How does having a baby gonna change your schedule upcoming?
I don't know. I won't play in November, but I've got a rock star of a wife. She wants me to keep playing. I asked her, if I got into Tiger's event and played the QBE last year, if I, you know, I was like, can I do one or the other, or what would you like me to do? And she said, just play both, I'll handle it. So I got a rock star of a wife. So I don't think it's going to change too much. Probably going to take some time and not practice a bit so I can hang out with my family. But I think, you know, time management will need to get better. But in the end, I've got, you know, plans, and people have done an amazing job out here when they have had kids, and I'll pick their brain and see what they did to make sure that they kept playing great. But I'm very much looking forward to the beginning of November, because life will change, and I think I will be a lot less aggravated by bad golf shots and much more appreciative of things that are going on in my life.
And we're going to do final two here, Cameron, then Dave.
So you're a SoCal guy. You went to college in NorCal. Why do you think you connected so well to Quail Hollow in North Carolina?
it reminds me just of Southern California. Don't know. I love the city of Charlotte. It's an amazing town. It's just got kind of everything. I have always played well in the Carolinas for some reason. I won my first web.com event. Obviously now Corn Ferry at in Greenville, South Carolina. I've always played well in the Carolinas. I don't know if it's the trees I'm not used to seeing, type of grass, I'm not sure, but it's a big golf course. It suits my game a lot. You got to drive the ball well and hit your mid irons well. But yeah, I just think there's something about, as corny as it sounds, sometimes you go to cities you love and you just feel better, and it might bring some of the better golf out of you. But I'm not sure. But I'm happy I do have a connection to that golf course, because it means a lot in the grand scheme of professional golf.
And then, other than the golf, are you looking forward to anything like playing ping pong against anybody on the team or something?
Nah,
like that?
I stink at ping pong. It'll be nice to watch. I'm looking forward to hanging out with the guys, though. It's interesting out here. You have your connections with people, and it's awesome. But I don't live next to, a ton of the top guys by any means, but I have my, Ches Reavies, one of my closest buddies, Wyndham Clark, JJ Spong, guys I'm with a lot at home, but that's kind of your own bubble. So it's cool. I mean, I'm pretty close with Sam Burns, always been a guy I love. JT, Colin, I don't know Scotty super well, but I always got along with him. But I feel like you go in there and you build like a deeper connection with those guys. And as irrelevant as that is probably in golf, like it would be cool to just get to go see how they do things, get closer with them. I think all 12 of us are pretty friendly, and it should be a really fun week nonetheless, but regardless, I think it's just cool to build those relationships with the top guys, because you see nowadays you have Pat and Xander are attached at the hip, and they do everything together, and they're both pushing each other to get better. Scotty and Sam pushing each other to get better. JT Jordan, you have all these guys who push each other, and I think just to be in the room with all those people who are equally motivated and crazy talented is that'll be a fun experience.
Thanks.
And that's all the questions we have. Max, as always, thanks for taking the time to join us, and we wish you the best of luck this week.
Thank you, guys.
At home, the Whisper Rock and Silver Loop in northern Wisconsin.
All right, folks, listen up. Labor Day, of course, is come and gone. And I hope you had a great time, and I hope you didn't steam your own buns in sweaty undies. For underwear that can handle the heat, you needed to have been wearing your Tommy John underwear. And Tommy John underwear, you're that much cooler, so you do everything better. Thanks to their breathable, lightweight fabric and four times the stretch of competing brands. They have dozens of comfort innovations, from the hammock pouch to the horizontal quick draw fly, if you have to go quick. Tommy John keeps you looking and feeling good. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have people like me, fanatics. I'm a fanatic. I wear Tommy John. I absolutely love it. And they've sold 17 million pairs. People love their Tommy John underwear. And they also have loungewear. So you got to check that out. Tommy John doesn't just make you feel cooler. You actually are cooler. Stay up to 7 degrees cooler than cotton in Tommy John's Apollo underwear. Now, let me tell you, I've worn Tommy John for a long time, and I absolutely love the product. I travel on tour. I'm walking the tournament, carrying a microphone, talking to players out there for 8, 10, 12 hours a day. And in my Tommy John, I'm extremely comfortable. So I would recommend them to anyone and everyone. Plus, there's a no risk because you're covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guarantee. Let me say that one more time and say it the right way for a change. There's no risk because you're covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guaranteed. That sounded better, didn't it? Hey, listen, love Tommy John, and this is what I have to say about it. You need to shop Tommy John's sale now through September, all the way through, at TommyJohn.com/golftalk and save 25%. That's 25% savings, folks. So get that 25% off site-wide right now at TommyJohn.com/golftalk. See site for details.
Hey, welcome back to Golf Talk America. There you go. You heard all the good guys from the Fortinet Championship on the PGA Tour. Part of the wraparound that we're talking about here, the season, it starts all over again. We kind of thought, wow, it was a build-up for the FedEx Cup playoffs. We're back into it again. And these are FedEx Cup points, and it all adds up and means something. But I was curious, Frank, after hearing those guys at the Fortinet Championship, because of the wraparound, and I'm a bit confused, the golf world, what is it going to change to? Are they going to not have these events in the fall? They won't have the wraparound going forward?
I don't know exactly the details. They haven't released 100% of them, but
they've acted like they want to go back to an off season.
They want to go back to an off season, right? But there'll be some tournaments rolling in. So I don't know what they're going to do. To be honest, I can't answer that yet.
Because there's a bunch of tournaments in the fall, right? I mean, there's a lot of this is where a lot of the guys from here, and they go to Sea Island and all the different tournaments that they have from now till the Tournament of Champions, right? And which is kind of the old start of the season, right? January, they go to Hawaii. But there's a lot of points to be had here. So a lot of these guys that are not necessarily Rory and Spieth will play in these tournaments in the fall when there's maybe a little bit lesser field and some of the other guys are taking a break to build up their points.
But that's going to change.
Suddenly they get all their FedEx Cup points. But
that was one of the beefs. That was one of the beefs of the players about the fact that, you know, they never got a break. If they didn't play in the fall, then they started way behind the curve of FedEx Cup points. So that's why it's happening this way. So,
right.
You know, I like the old silly season where we had some great charitable events and the old skins game. That was kind of fun.
Those were kind of fun.
But then again, corporate sponsorships and money dictate. And
well, we have had the matches, right? I wonder if we'll have more of those. I don't know if you're going to see Phil doing any of those.
He and Tiger own that jointly, I believe. So
I don't know if we have some of those matches, but those were silly season. Those were kind of fun.
Yeah.
I think, you know, something with DeChambeau, he's been out of the limelight for a while, but he certainly is a gate attraction. He's a guy that people love to see.
Is he? I'm sure that they're PR firms that are running polls right now to find out who's a draw, who isn't, and if they can do that kind of thing. So
yeah.
You don't know because, he's playing for Saudi Arabian money.
And who wants to play
money,
who?
You know,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, So
park your car if you don't want to, you know.
Cooler heads prevail.
I won't go there. Frank, I swear I've been in a bad mood for a year.
If you get a chance to watch the Italian Open,
yes,
which is technically the Open di Italia. That's how you say it. Open di Italia. Matt Fitzpatrick, who we were just talking about, who's a calming.
You wanted to say that again? Structure. That was good.
Yeah, that was pretty nice.
The Open di Italia
has a lead, but if you get a chance to watch it, I'm saying watch it because it's almost like watching at Silverado, and it's a worth watching as well, whether
pretty
you like the guys who are playing or not, because the scenery is beautiful, right? These rolling hills and these beautiful houses. Watch the one in outside of Rome in Italy, because again, it's a little preview of where they're going to play for the Ryder Cup next year outside of Rome. First time I think it's ever been in Italy, the Ryder Cup, and it's the same course, but these beautiful Tuscan houses up in the hills all around the Scal Core. Oh,
who's going to be in the President's Cup? Who's going to be in the Ryder Cup? Yeah, and I get it. That's gorgeous out there. But here's the deal. Let's forget about those cups. Let's have the Grudge Cup, and let's have Liv play the PGA Tour.
Ooh. There could be some money for that.
Oh, that would be a draw. Do you think that would be a draw? Hell yes, it would be a draw.
Yeah.
You know, let's get ready to rumble. You know, I mean, come on. I think that's a great idea.
These guys were all friends, it seemed like, before, pretty much friends.
Yeah, well,
and now why
we've all had that situation.
Because you've chosen to go over here. I don't know why that should ruin friendships. Again, some words are going to hurt people, so you got to be careful about how much you're saying. But as far as somebody going over here to play because it's a better situation for them, okay, I don't get it. I'm like, fine, that's good for you. And I'll see you at the Masters, or I'll see you whenever I see you, right? I mean, they were friends before. I don't know why that financial decision, if you will, or business decision, career decision, should change your friendships. But there's just been some people just can't keep their mouth closed, right? They got to say something. And I think a lot of times that leads to the animosity that we're seeing. So
I don't know.
We'll see. But I got to get out of here, Frank, because I got
to go to Notre Dame.
Go see the fighting Irish. Try to win a game.
Wish we had the fight song to play as the outro. That'd be fun.
Oh, that would have been so perfect, Frank.
Wouldn't it? Just Notre Dame. You want me to sing it?
If you only had your trumpet. If you only had your trumpet here.
Yeah.
No, that's okay.
That ain't happening anymore.
I got it.
Those years are gone.
My dad taught us the fight song years ago. I got it. It's embedded in my head.
What, three cheers for old Notre Dame?
Yes.
And that's mostly what everybody knows. And after that, they go, duh, 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 and they don't know anything else.
Yeah, pretty much. But
you know, I know the Alabama fight song because I heard it more than the Ole Miss fight song because they just beat the hell out of us and scored a touchdown every 2 seconds when we played
every touchdown, you got to hear it. So.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. Well, we had a great show. Thanks, everybody, for listening to us. Hey, check out Invited, by the way, invited.com. Used to be Club Corp. Change it, rebranding to Invited. And you can find a course near you. Just put in your address or put in your zip code, and they'll let you know. Go try it out. Kick the tires. See if you like it. And when you're a member at one, you get privileges all over the country. Frank and I are both members of Invited clubs around the country, and couldn't be happier. And it's a place to go. So invited.com, again, the place, or clubcorp.com. Still working for you, if you remember that in your mind. Thanks again for listening to us. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We do appreciate it. And remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.